This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflicts and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response of indecision for the first time? This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response of Bivens' decision for the second time? This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agencies of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response to Bivens' decision for the third time? Hearing none. Anyone who is here under false pretense, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territorial United States or municipal United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose. This is the Union State meeting on January 18th at 2026. If we can actually start off with Keith, can you do a prayer for us?
I'd be honored to.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now, Lord. We come to you with praise and gratitude. We thank you for this wonderful day that we've had, Lord, and we're just so grateful for this union of people that you're putting together, the reestablishment of the proper government, Father God. In our lives, we just pray for our finances. We pray for our health, Lord, all of us, one and all. We pray for our health. We pray for protection for our loved ones and ourselves. We just pray right now, Lord, you continue to guide us to people that you'd love us to witness to and want us to witness to. Lord, we just pray right now in total gratitude. We love you with all of our hearts. Please continue to help advance your cause, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, the name of Yahshua, so be it. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. Okay, the first thing that I want to go over, I've been trying to get logos and that kind of stuff from everybody. So I'm going to share my screen here. And then give me a second here. I'm going to pull up a few. And these. Let me find the other one. One second. Okay. Oops. Let's see if I can get these all to fit on the screen. Okay. These are going to be what we call letterheads or whatever on our documents, and we need to decide which kind of format we're going to do. The bottom right is the one that Tammy did, and the one next to it is Alex basically made it in gold, so you can see the difference between, in silver, so you can see the difference between silver and gold. And then the one at the top is from Mark, and you know, trying to come up with, he was more like trying to come up with like a standard, and then you can change it, like this says the Clark County Court or the Nye County Court, that kind of thing, with a generic type of deal. Now, when I did talk to Anna about the logos here, let me shrink this one so I can get it over here. Okay. What she said is the bottom ones, how they have the circle around them, she says that we cannot do that because that basically encloses us into what we're doing, and we're the highest courts, so we need to leave it open. So that's why Mark, he created the ones at the top where it's kind of open, even though there is a circle in it behind it. The overall is not encircled in. So we have to keep that in mind when we're building these. If Tammy or whatever wants to redo these and come up with something where it's not enclosed, we'd be glad to look at those too. With that said of where we're at right now, what does everybody think about each one of these logos? Anybody want to say something? Which ones they like or anything?
Oh, this is Michelle.
Sorry, can you hear me?
They're all beautiful.
Okay, Michelle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you tomorrow.
Okay, I like the one Mark made, and I like the gold one.
And you like the gold one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? Michelle, you want to say more about them?
Oh, just that they're all beautiful. I mean, they're, of course, they're different, but we have to think about, them being made as well.
Well, it's when we do our court documents and whatever, this is going to be the logo on the court documents, one of these. And it's going to be whatever you guys choose. There is nothing picked, right now. We're just coming up with ideals.
Okay, so no stamps, just to go on the letterhead, basically.
Yes, this is our letterhead, the logo for that. So, anytime we do a court document, if, it's like the county clerk or whatever, when they do send a letter out to somebody, it will have one of these logos on it. Same thing when the judge or the justice of the peace, signs whatever court order, this will be on that court order, that kind of stuff. So it's just a letterhead or whatever that will be on our court papers, and we're trying to come up with something that it's what we're trying to do, because this is the Union State, we're trying to come up with a base kind of a letterhead that the other counties can actually work on. It's like every county can take it, the base of this and make it their own, change it, whatever, to come up with what their county wants it to look like. But it's just giving everybody a start, what I'm saying? We got to start somewhere.
Hey, Rocky, I like this is Keith. I like all of them. I have a little bit of an issue with the wording on the gold one and then the silver one, with the way it's written in, it's kind of the slopey type of writing. It looks really cool, but I think as far as an official document, I don't know if that loopy kind of handwriting is, I don't know. That just kind of throws me off a little bit. I like the handwriting on the banner, but it's just the lettering around the top and on the bottom left one around the bottom. It just looks kind of like ocean waves or something kind of, and that's just my thought. I yield.
Yeah, basically it's cursive, and I don't know if we should be using cursive. I didn't ask Anna that question. I did send these to her, and she's supposed to get back to me on what she thinks of each one of them. So, she will let us know that, you can't do this, you can't do that, or whatever, or you need to do it this way. So I'm waiting for that response.
I think right now, obviously at this point, the top ones look like more like they'd be able to pass off a yield.
True. And again, we got to remember too, if we need to make like an embosser or something like that, so like somebody brings some paper in that we can stamp them. You know, it's got to be where we could do that in black and white too. You know what I'm saying?
I think they look really awesome. By the way, I'm grateful for them creating those. They look really cool.
Yeah, I like all of them too. They did some great work on it, and I appreciate them. Anybody else want to say something about them?
Rocky, they all are super cool, really beautiful looking. Just like you were saying on the bottom ones, we just can't have the circle, right? It's what Anna asked, so we can't show like we're enclosed or like you're enclosed type government.
Right. If it was like the banner went outside of the circle or something to where the circle isn't the end, you know what I'm saying? So that would be one thing we'd have to change is get rid of the circle. Now you can actually even put like, you know, like lines through the circle where it looks like it's broken up. You know, that would work too. It just can't be completely enclosed.
How about an upside down horseshoe kind of coolly created around the outside? I know, does that sound tacky? I've got horses, sorry.
Could be. I mean, if somebody come up with one, we can look at it, yeah. You got to remember, this is for quartz, so.
Do you think, like, Alexei on his could change the, like he said, the font? I mean, it looks beautiful, but I think we need something cleaner, you know? If he could change the font so we could take a look at that as well, I'd like that.
Yeah. Well, Alexei did is he took Tammy's and he just made it, because we're a silver state, and it made it more silver, and then added the land and soil at the bottom, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, I think it shouldn't be in cursive. There could be some things in that, but I think it needs to be readable, is myself. And I think if we made a, like an embosser or a stamp, the cursive would be harder to read on a stamp. That's my opinion.
Yes, and it's nice to have something that looks fresh and clean, you know? I don't know how to explain it.
Now, in the chat, people are saying, can the blue be a different color of blue, whatever? Yeah, I mean, what do you guys want to do? You know, I would tend to use colors that would match our state, you know what I'm saying? Could be browns. You know, it could be lighter blues, whatever. You know, like the sky. Now, one of the things that Mark was telling me that he was going to change the way the banner or the way, you know, where it says like Clark County or Nye County, because he says when you get to some of the other counties, the names are really long, that it would look squished up and maybe not good. And maybe reorganize it a little different. Instead of putting the Clark County on the ribbon, is to maybe put it underneath and then put national jurisdiction on the ribbon. You know, something like that. So that way you have more room for the county.
Yeah, because I think that would look great. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you get like Carson City, I mean that's a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? And it wouldn't fit in there with, you know, where it is like the Nye County, you know, like Clark and Nye is only four or five, you know, three to five letters. But when you get 10 or more letters, it starts looking funny.
Rocky, Mark had a comment in the chat and said, I want to add the scales of justice to, you know, to the design. He likes the silver circled one. If the wording is outside of the circle, I like to add the scales of justice should be added. That's what Ray said.
Okay.
So Mark likes wants to do the scales of justice, and then Ray said he likes the silver circlet one. If the wording is outside of the circle, I like that to add the scales of justice should be added.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure on wording, whatever, but yeah, I mean, that to me, that sounds more official for a court, you know, the scales of justice. Yeah, it's, if, you know, Tammy or Alexi or Mark can actually come up with some other images for us to look at so we can, you know, pick. We're not in a big hurry to get this. I mean, as soon as we try to get our court up and whatever, we got to get, you know, the our documents straightened out with the right letterheads on them and all that. So I know it's going to take time to draw these up, so if we can work on them, it'd be great. Any more information that somebody says? Ray said something about putting County of Clark instead of the Clark County. That would probably work too, because that would give you enough room for the other counties. Instead of saying like the Clark County, say County of Clark or County of Carson City, like that. What we need to do is if Mark and Tammy them can change them, to add in some of this stuff so we can see what they look like would be great.
You can always put two banners as well for the counties that have longer names.
Right. One of the things Ray said is that we can use the scales of justice and you know, as a photo instead of the words. That I'd like that too. I mean, that sounds good. Yes, draw it up so we can look at it. That'd be great. Any more information or ideals? Remember, these are going to be what your court's documents are going to look like.
Yeah, I think if we come up with, like I said, a couple more designs, different lettering and all the stuff, I think it'd be pretty nice to work on it. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, once we can come up with something that's closer, I mean, we need to change these ones or whatever and then see what they look like and then see which way we want to go.
And can we maybe have the scale like for like the court cases and maybe the other design for like lettering? Because they don't have to be all the same, correct?
All your court documents, you'd want them to kind of be the same, but it could be different between like the criminal courts or the, you know, the civil courts, right?
There could that'd be nice to have a little bit of a difference. I don't know.
Because the logo could then distinguish if it's a criminal case or if it's a civil case, right?
Yeah, I think that would be nice.
Yeah, so we could do like the criminal we can do with the scales because that's more, you know, whatever, and then the civil ones kind of do like what we got here. But
yeah, I like that idea.
And it's the more ideals we get from people, the better, you know, so we can nail it down to something, you know. Is there any more on this? Okay. The next thing I want to do here, let me close these. As you'll see that there's a video here. I want to play this video. This is Anna talking about the courts. And it's something I think we need to listen to because she goes into why we need to do what we're doing and some of the stuff about the courts. So I'm going to play this so you guys can hear what she said. This was on the last Thursday coordinator call. And it's in the downloads if you guys want to watch the whole thing. I'm just going to show you pieces of it. So here we go.
Hi, Ruby Sutherland. I have questions about common law lawyer. I have three questions. What are the controls that are or are not in place to authenticate a common law lawyer, or is that not necessary? So authenticate means that, you know, you're legitimate in a sense, if that's the right word, legitimate of an author.
There isn't an accreditation service for common law lawyers, and probably should be, but there isn't. It's certainly something that is a good idea. We have, of course, the bar associations who keep track of the bar attorneys, but because they are practicing a foreign law and their performance ratings in that foreign law don't really give us any useful information about what they're doing, it's only a nominal business of saying, well, yeah, well, they're licensed and haven't been drummed out of the core yet. But we should have some sort of a registry or, in our case, a recording service that keeps track of common law lawyers and whether they do well by their customers or not. You know, we don't know how many charlatans there are out there, but there are certainly bound to be some. And let's also acknowledge the fact that, like many other things, the meaning of common law has been distorted and confused on purpose, because there are many different kinds of common law. You can even describe martial law as common law, because it has a body of decisions in the past that it draws upon in making decisions now. So it has an aspect and character of common law, but it's not what we would normally, just off the cuff, when we're talking about common law, we don't think about martial common law, right? And so, quick answer is no, we don't have that kind of a Denver Business Bureau set up for common law attorneys, but it's a good idea, and it's probably something that we should arrange in time to come.
So it essentially, it's like a self-regulation thing where you feel you have a sense of competency, and then you would back off maybe if you would try and find a colleague that you felt had more competency than you. That, I guess that's the best way for a person individually to handle that, so that, you know, they were respecting and had a duty to who was coming to them to help to do the best that they can for them.
Well, bear in mind that in our common law courts, the defendant stands for themselves and the injured party, the plaintiff, stands for themselves. So in our common law courts, unless you are so sick and disabled that you cannot actually speak for yourself, or you've been a victim of murder and are dead and can't speak for yourself, you should be at the court saying yes or no or maybe to all the questions that might be asked by the juries. And so our common law provides that you present yourself. You don't have a representative, except in those cases where you cannot present yourself. It's kind of a flag that you're not in a common law setting or a common law situation under American common law if you are required to have an attorney or lawyer present.
I'm going to break in a couple times here, off and on. This is one of the pieces I wanted you to hear, because, like she was saying, in our courts, when we get our courts standing up, whatever, and I got some diagrams to show you, too, about our courts, the courtroom, and that kind of stuff. And the ideal is that we don't have lawyers. We don't have somebody that represents you. You represent yourself in the court. And when I get to the diagrams and stuff, it'll be more clear to you on how we actually do things. Is now you can have, like she's going to go on to, where you can have a representative that could be whispering in your ear, you know, like, maybe you need to say this, or maybe you forgot about this, and, you know, like kind of guiding you because you don't know what to say in the courtroom, right? So she's going to go on to say a little bit about that too. And it just so that you know, when we're doing our courtrooms, there's going to be the plaintiff and the defendant, and you're going to be talking to the jury. And you are the one that needs to answer the questions, not a lawyer or somebody else. Okay? So let's go on to a little more.
So the common law lawyer would be more of like an advisor, that somebody you could go to would guide you, maybe? Is that, I mean...
Right. We call them lawyers. And they are counselors in law, and they stand down at your shoulder and they say, they can't get away with that procedurally, or that secondhand testimony, it should be thrown out because it's secondhand testimony, you know. So, you can have people who are kind of your coaches standing beside you and communicating with you about the play-by-play in the court, sure. And that is our tradition, is that we have, when we have a lawyer, we have someone who's expert in such things as court evidence requirements and court procedures, and who has a knowledge of prior cases that have already been tried concerning the same subject. And they sort of stand there as your little Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder and say, yeah, well, then there's, Smith versus Samson in the Fifth Circuit Court in 1993. they're rattling off this stuff for you as examples of prior cases. Now, bear in mind that none of these courts that you get sucked into have to pay any attention to those prior cases. It's entirely discretionary for Admiralty and Merchant Courts. And so they often don't even pay any attention to the prior cases because you're not operating in common law. And they just say, oh, well, I'm going to take that under advisement, or yes, well, that's all very interesting, but... And so, because they don't operate in common law and have no common law, in fact, under their jurisdiction. See, all these court cases are being tried under maritime law, admiralty law, or administrative law. That's it. They have no common law, and because the federal corporations have no common law, of course, then the state of state franchise corporations under them have no common law. So whether or not they take any notice of common law is entirely up to the judge's discretion, and he just says yes or no. So they don't really practice common law. We're the ones that practice common law, and common law is what we're owed, but common law is what we have to give ourselves, which is why all of the state assemblies are under the gun to get organized and get their courts up and standing so that our people have the correct law and they have access to the correct law. And our courts can deal with our people.
My understanding was that it was prior to 1938 that they wouldn't recognize cases because that's when public law became public policy. So it's cases before 1938. And my understanding also is that they did take pleadings, common law pleadings, in the courts up until about 1956 or 1958.
They still take common law pleadings, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean they pay any attention to them. What happened with Erie Railroad versus Tompkins is that the federal government came right out and said, we don't have any common law. And they don't, by definition. Maritime law is not common law, admiralty law is not common law, and administrative law is not common law. They never had any common law, ever. Those particular federal subcontractors do not operate under common law. They have never operated under common law. And so, although in 1938, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins is always cited as this big deal, the only real big deal is that the federal government finally got tired of being sued at common law when they don't do common law and said so. They brought up the obvious. Hey, we don't have a common law. That's all that happened with Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, is that they came up and put it right in the face of the people that were trying to use common law in their courts. So no, there's never been any common law, and any common law that's brought forward in these courts, it's purely up to the discretion of the individual judge whether he will consider the common law tradition or not, because his court doesn't function under common law. And that's something I need to really drill into people. You know, I know so many patriots who have, you know, 50 different case law examples of a principle of law that is constantly ignored by all the lower courts. And you may be perfectly right, and you may be perfectly within your own jurisdiction, you would be vindicated, right? But you're not in your own jurisdiction, you're in their jurisdiction. You're not under your own law, you're not under common law, you're being prosecuted under maritime amnesty or administrative law. Okay, so all this effort going into finding, you know, different court cases, at least in the lower courts, is useless. Doesn't mean you shouldn't bring it up. You should. But what happens, and we've seen all sorts of examples of just this year, where it gets all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it's like the Supreme Court got a hypodermic in the butt, and they go, well, yeah, we need to affirm this common law court back in the 19th century and pay attention to things like the fact that, oh, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. Who knew? But all these lower courts who don't function in the common law don't have the authority to interpret common law or the Constitution, so they just keep bumping it up. And then it's up to, you know, the will of fate and the politics of the day whether the Supreme Court won't even hear you. We've had a whole ration of court cases up coming out of the Supreme Court that have, for example, upheld the Norton versus Shelby County findings that basically said that Congress has no ability to further delegate their power of legislation, so that all these agency and administrative courts have no power. They have no authority outside the corporation. But they had to come through and say that half a dozen times. They went back and they confirmed things from the 1800s. And we've had the Second Amendment ruling. Oh, you don't really have to have a carry permit. Oh, your right to buy and own a gun can't be infringed. Oh, well, you know, who knew? Right? And there's been another big one just this week that I'm going to report on in an article probably tomorrow, where people are being, their Fourth Amendment rights are being recognized for the first time in 100 years. So what's happening? These cases are finally filtering up to the level. Now, so that they're actually ruling in a manner that is agreeable to the Constitution. But if you remember, back in like 1991, the self-serving Congress changed the judge's oath so that they didn't have to rule in a manner agreeable to the Constitution. It became discretionary. on the part of the judges, whether they ruled in a manner agreeable to the Constitution or not. All right? This is the kind of bullshit that we've been getting out of these supposed public servants in Congress. And what that then did was politicize the judiciary and make the judiciary a creature of the Congress. Because if a judge chose to uphold the Constitution in his court, and because he was upholding the Constitution in his court, he ruled against some political crony of a congressman, that congressman could come into his office and say, well, I understand that you abused your judicial privilege and discretion and actually, sent my friend to jail. Well, I was only, taking notice of the Constitution and Article 4, blah, 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 blah. And the congressman says, I gave you discretion for a reason. If you want to have your job, you'd better start using that discretion in an appropriate fashion. We got some real Huey Lewis kind of stuff going on here for a long time, especially in the district courts. Now think about that, a district court. What is a district court doing operating in the State of the Union? That we're talking about a District of Columbia court operating in a State of the Union. What are these bastards doing? What do they think they're doing? What do we think they're doing? They have a right to be here talking to the people of the States of the Union, summoning them in, waving their gavel around as if they had some sort of business to do with us. Those district courts are here operating illegally, unlawfully, against the Constitution. Hell, they're not even operating as real courts.
I want to say something before we get a little bit farther, because she goes into some good reasons of what's going on here. And the deal is this is reason why we don't win in their courts. Unless you're using their codes and statutes and whatever in their courts, they're not listening to us, and they don't care, and they don't have to, because they have discretion on to do whatever they want. And she's going to go into more about that and what we need to do about it.
Okay, so these are just people, illegal, horrible institutions which have been operating under color of law for a long, long time. And the state courts aren't a bit better because they're just franchises of these district courts. What do you see all over America? Oh, we got the first judicial district. We got the second judicial district. We got the third judicial district. You just count them up. We got 11 judicial districts last time I counted. Districts of what? What is the word district even appearing in our states? What business does it have in our states? What is the District of Columbia doing in our states? Addressing our people. And yet when you complain about this, when you say, oh no, go back to the District of Columbia, you know what they say? They say, well, if we do, who's going to preserve the public peace? Where are your courts? Where are your peacekeepers? So we have to boot up our courts. We have to operate our American common law. We have to have our peacekeepers. And then we can tell them to get the hell out of our states. Then we can restrict them to just addressing their own people, their own employees, their own dependents. And there's already law in place. Ex parte Milligan was decided in 1866 when this first came up. And it still stands. And basically what it says is when you get your court standing up and identify your population, have your peacekeeping forces in place, then we will stand down and not address anybody that's in your group.
That's very good information.
That being said, if you wanted the people going to be filing in federal court, that would be you'd be filing in District of Columbia. That you also mentioned about a court within a court with and I don't know, maybe it's like 6 months ago. I mean, a court within a court that's in the District of Columbia. I can't remember what the particulars were about that, but and would you be able to file in the District of Columbia and have a transfer here? I'm in San Diego and have a transfer here locally and have something heard as if it were a D.C. court?
No, what happens is it gets transferred out of the district specifically because it's not a district matter. And then it can be referred back to a state court if you have a state court. That's why you have to join your assembly. That's why you have to be a juror. That's why you have to take elections. That's why you have to find somebody to serve as justice. That's why you have to put up your own courts so that there is a court to serve the needs of the public. Otherwise, the territorial government comes in and says, well, they have to have a court system. If they don't have a court system, they have no way to resolve disputes and stop crime. So, obviously we have to stand in and do that for them. So that's what's been going on. This is what I get shoved down my throat all the freaking time. It's like, oh, you Americans, you want to complain and take Her Majesty's government to task over all these different things. And you want to complain and hold responsible for all these other different things that have been basically illegal, blah, blah. Why don't you have your own courts? Why don't you have your own peacekeeping forces? Why aren't you doing your own thing and taking responsibility for yourself? You say you're self-governing. Well, why in the hell aren't you self-governing? If you don't govern yourself, somebody else has to govern for you. Otherwise, we just have crime rampant in every corner and there'd be complete lawlessness. So what are we going to do? And that's what they dish up right in our faces all the time. It's only been since the state assemblies got organized and our people were identified and we have started this entire process. And in some few states and places, we actually have courts and juries standing. And we do have courts of record standing in all 50 states now, so we can do court of record cases. All right, and we do have the Federal Postal Court operating again. Bit by bit and piece by piece, we're putting it together, but it's not together yet. So I can only give everybody a big design and push forward to get it together. We do have lots of materials that have been identified that we've used to as reference material in running our courts. We've got the James Hall American Common Law and Procedure. We've got a whole list of common law resources that are listed on TASA. So we have the means, we have the material, we have the people. Now all we have to do is get our tail in a knot and actually lift up our courts.
That was my last question, is resources for anybody who wanted to pursue common law.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. He just goes on to and her talking about different resources you can get into common law. But as you can see what she's saying in here, you know, if we want the de facto out of our business, we want them to stop trying us and doing all the stuff they're doing, we got to get our courts up and running. Until we get it up, they won't stand down, and we can do our ex parte Milliken, which basically establishes our courts as our courts, and they have nothing to say about it. Does anybody have anything to say about what you heard? Any comments at all? So basically every one of us need to understand that it is us. If we don't do this, we're not going to have any authority and no way to stop them from doing anything to us. And that's what we're doing, you know, now is trying to get that established, our courts and everything. And then we can do our ex parte Milliken to tell them these are our courts. You know, it's the same thing as we had to do our elections. You know, our elections for the justice of the peace, elections for our county clerks, our elections for our sheriff, you know, elections for different things to show them that we have the people, you know, and we have to do those before we do ex parte Milliken to show that these are the people, you know, that's going to enforce this, right? And then going into that, I'm going to show you a, hang on here. Okay, and this here is what I come up with on what our courts would look like, okay? And Aaron gave me some good information on, and I made some changes here because just like what Anna was saying in that video is it is our jurors that actually are trying the case. It's not the justice of the peace, and that's why he's off on the side here. And it's we put the jurors in front of the defendant and the plaintiff because that's going to be the person or the people that you're going to be talking to. There's 12 people in this jury box or stand, and each one of them would ask questions of either the defendant or the plaintiff. And you're going to be looking at them straight in the eye, and you're going to be telling them your story or whatever your case is about to that jury. You got to remember, our jury is the strongest people in our counties and our state. Is the juries have the last say for anything. And that's the reason why I reorganized this court, basically, to put the jury up front because they are number one. And it would be the defendant and plaintiffs that would be talking to them. Now, the justice of the peace, your bondsman and your court clerk, the reason they're off on the side here is because they're administrative people of the court. You know, it's like the bondsman keeps the peace. Not only does he do that, he keeps all of the money. You know, if there's any bonds or any, you know, money that needs to be paid for whoever, for, you know, whatever the court case is going, the bondsman would then verify that also with the jury and, you know, say, yeah, so-and-so paid me this much money, and that they would be the witness to that, right? So that's why the bondsman's in the court. The court clerk, in case there's any other documents that the defendant or the plaintiff wants to file, the court clerk can then take those papers and file them. And then also there would be witnesses to, you know, for the jury that, yeah, this person filed this document or whatever, and also give a copy to the jury, you know, so they can ask questions about those. Then I put in the back here is a place for, like, if you had your family that shows up, whatever, they have a place to sit and to, you know, listen to the case. They're not allowed to say anything or whatever. And then you'll notice that the sheriff is in the back by the door, and he's the one that lets people in and keeps the peace, you know, in the courtroom too.
Hey, Rocky?
Yeah, go ahead.
May I? If anything, I would definitely have a deputy posted there, but I would move personally. I'd move the sheriff's bench off to the right side potentially, somewhere in between the audience and the plaintiffs.
I don't know, my thoughts would be not having the sheriff be so far back in case something did transpire. I would put the sheriff's bench personally, you see where the blue rectangle is, maybe just a little bit off to the side of that. Yeah, exactly, over that way, you know, against more towards the wall, but at least in between all the action there, just in case. But yeah, I'd have a deputy posted in several different places anyway. I yield.
Yeah, this is my first diagram, and that's what I wanted, is for people to give me ideas on what our court should really look like. And I agree with that, because if there's somebody in the audience or the plaintiff or defendant starts getting rogue or whatever, at least the sheriff's deputies or whatever would be closer to that and be able to respond quicker. That's a good question, a good deal on it. I still think that we should have, you know, the sheriff or some, especially at the beginning of the you know, when we're starting the court, at the door, just to give people directions and that kind of stuff. What do you think about that, Keith?
Yeah, most definitely. And again, one of the, you know, the deputies for sure, that's definitely trained in that. Yeah, and that's definitely, you'd want to also make sure that people that are coming in, you know, they're not carrying any weapons or firearms and what have you, you know. So we'd have to definitely have metal detectors and the most modern ones that you can buy to make sure nobody's coming into the court with a firearm. But yeah, I agree with that. I'd have at least a deputy or two at the door. And again, I'd probably put the sheriff's bench off to the side instead of way behind everybody. That's just my take. I have one deputy probably, you know, posted off to the side. Probably over by the Justice of Peace as well. And we'd have to look at how it looks inside the room, but just for safety's sake and, you know, to let everybody feel comfortable and safe, you'd have some sort of presence for sure. I yield.
Okay. Yeah, I put sheriff's bench, whatever, but you know the sheriff is not going to be able to be at every court, so it's going to be deputies that are going to be assigned to the courts, right?
Yes, definitely. People that are specifically trained
right.
for that. And yes, I would be there as well the most time that I can. I'm envisioning having a lot of stuff going on, especially when the finances do come in, that I will probably be all over the place. So we'll have specific people that are specifically trained the proper way, common law, and et cetera. So, yeah, I envision a good presence so that, again, people can feel safe and have the proceedings happen, you know, in a lawful, unbiased manner. I yield.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else want to say something about the diagram or there's anything that we may need to change? Okay, but this was my first drawing of something, and again, you know, like Aaron, I had the jury off the side like the normal courts with the Justice of Peace in the center, and Aaron said that our, you know, our Justice of the Peace really isn't the one that's trying the case. He's just there as the one that basically, once the jury comes up with a verdict or whatever they're doing, hands it to the Justice of the Peace, and then he so orders it. And that's basically all the Justice of the Peace is doing, is to make sure there's peace in the court, you know, there's nothing getting out of hand, people talking over whatever, and making sure the jury is able to hear and talk to the people. So that's why we put the jury up front. Anybody else want to say anything, or I'll go on to my next little slide that or chart I created. Okay, all of this stuff is in the downloads for you guys. This is one that I created for to kind of show you visually what is the procedures of how you get to court, right? Or what is the procedures? You know, we start off with the sheriff and the ombudsman, right? So the sheriff would then work, you know, getting all the complaints or whatever from the people, right? And he would try to solve it. That'd be your first, you know, recourse, right? If the sheriff department or office couldn't resolve the dispute, right, then they would get all this stuff and the parties together, and then they would then send it off to the ombudsman, right? Then the ombudsman then would then try to solve it between the two people and, you know, how can we fix this problem, whatever. You know, if it's criminal, it's going to be a little different because there's going to be maybe theft or something involved. You know, if it's actually a murder, it's going to be totally different because you're not going to use an ombudsman for that because, you know, somebody's already dead, right? So you would actually skip that one and then go on to filing with the court. And that's where Anna was talking about, is if somebody died or something, then basically the sheriff would then take that to the court and file it on the behalf of the family, right, to bring it to court against somebody. And so then you would skip these, you know, three in the middle here and go straight down to filing the documents with the court. At that point, the court would then get all the documents, and they always do three, the triplicates and everything, you know, one to the plaintiff defendant, one to the court, right, and the county clerk actually files one within their system, right? So then once that's done, then the court clerk then starts selecting juries based on what kind of case it is, okay, and what jurisdiction, all that kind of stuff. So at that point, they're going to select some juries. Now, what it says on the way that at that point what happens is you have the 12 juries, then there's going to be three jurors selected that are going to actually try to do an arbitration with the people and try to settle the case before it goes to trial. So if the three jurors can't settle it, you know, come up with a way to settle the case before it actually is heard in a courtroom itself, you know, that's the second part here on the left where they're doing an arbitration, right? On the deal, the three juries would then try to get these people together, you know, like in a mini court, whatever, or office or whatever, just to talk it over to see if they can settle it, you know, that jury. But if they don't, then the court clerk then sets up the venue, meaning they'll set up the time, the date, the justice of the peace is going to, you know, be sitting in it, and, you know, the bondsman and all that. If there's any money that needs to be paid up front, the bondsman then would be taking it, and the court clerk would set that venue up. So that then that case would be, you know, that court case would be on the record. It would have a date, and it would have who's going to be in that, what juries are going to be there, or jurors, and what justice of the peace. So does anybody have any input onto this document? Or if you think it needs to be changed, or I would suggest everybody, you know, once we get off this call or whatever, if you download these stuff and actually go through them, you know, because there could be wording stuff that I misspelled, whatever. I know Tamara told me that there's some changes that need to be done, and I'm working on those, you know, we're working on those, but if you see anything else too, you know, I mean, let us know. So we can come up with some kind of flow of how we're going to work our courts, right? So does anybody want to say anything about this document? Or on the way that the courts are going to be? Okay. Let me look here. One of the things that we've talked about the logos or the letterhead on the documents. This is one of the cases that Anna did in one of the courses. It looks like it's from the IRS or whatever. But one of the things we talked about is a seal. Now, if we go to the bottom of this document here, you see this little image on the right here below the fingerprint? That's what is considered a seal, okay? So the justice of the peace would have a seal. The court clerk would have a seal. And what a seal is to seal the documents or whatever it is that's on the documents. So, like, if the justice of the peace signs it, then he would then seal it with his seal, right? And that's sealing his signature with these documents, saying that this document is completed and it's sealed, okay? So we need to come up with some seals also to, you know, for the justice of the peace, for the court clerks, the sheriff will have to have their own, you know, sheriff's department have their own seals for sealing any documents they do that they, you know, send to the court, that kind of stuff. So we got to think about also getting these seals made for each kind of, you know, position that we're doing too. Does anybody have any ideas about seals? Or maybe want to work on some? Okay, not hearing anybody. Is anybody, is it a bit small? Okay, see if I can zoom it up. Oops. That's, you see it says bound rights, whatever.
Rocky.
That's your seal. Go ahead.
So are these seals different than the other things, the other ones that you showed us earlier?
Yes, the other ones were letterheads. So they're like a logo that's basically telling that this paper come from the court. But then once we do the court paper, or say like the jury comes up with a verdict, and then the justice of peace signs it, then he needs to seal that document. And that's what these seals are.
And is anything particular that you want on the seal?
No, it's like this one here, I don't understand what's on it or why she did this kind of a diagram. But it's just coming up with some seals that we can use to say, you know, this is the justice of the peace seal and this is the court clerk seal, so they could seal the papers, right?
Okay, I'll see if I can find something and send to you too.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I mean, if we can work on, these are the certain things that we need to get our courts up and running. We got to, you know, have the full thing so that when we present these to the de facto or somebody else, that they look official and they're sealed, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we're trying to do, is come up with all the information and the stuff we need, right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Does anybody else want to say anything about it or want to help work on those? Okay, one of the other things, if you see this here, this is our jural assembly agreement. If you haven't filled out one of these and you really want to be a juror, you know, like be one of the people in the jury, whatever, you need to fill out this document here and get it to Aaron. You know, or even me, I can get it through her tomorrow. And we can get it, you know, you need two people to witness, you sign in it. But it just states that you want to be on the jury, that kind of thing. Now, we did have Anna say something about this agreement. I have talked to Anna about it. She hasn't gave me a real answer on it. So I'm going to ask her in one of the coordinator calls, because that's the fastest way to get an answer back. But she was saying indigenous people, this is leaving them out, and we don't want to leave out anybody. So I'll need to talk to her about that. So if anybody hasn't filled out one, it's the document is in the downloads, and you can download it and fill it out. Appreciate it if you do it. Hang on now. I got some other things here. Hang on here. If you want to, oops. This was an article that Anna did. It's in the downloads too. It talks about that's certain things that's their laws and not our laws. If you read this, it gives you a really good explanation about the different laws and who it is. I would suggest reading it. So at least you have an understanding, you know, like here where it talks about the district courts. You know, we want to avoid those. Those are not our courts. So this document here, this article is really good to read. It explains a lot of that stuff. So I would read that. Let me see. Also, too, if you could read this manual, this handbook here that Anna created, is the General Assembly handbook. That gives you also information. And then also the one that I've been using, which is really good, too, is this one, which is also in here, too. That gives you more, this one gives you more on the different, you know, like offices, right? You know, like the Justice of the Peace, you know, the General Assembly Secretary. Now, this one is the General Assembly Secretary is a new one, and that's more of like the court clerk can use, you know, are there also in the courtroom, you know, writing down what's going on in the courtroom and what they're seeing, whatever. That's what the secretary does. They're helping the court clerk get whatever's being said or whatever, including that we'll probably record them also. But that's a good one to read so that you know different things about that. That's all I had right now on the court stuff. Unless you guys have more information that you want to talk about on the court. I'm going to go into a couple other topics. But again, let's keep moving. We need to get a justice of the peace. We need to get, you know, our court clerk. I don't think we have one yet. I have to go back through our org chart and to see which positions we need. But we need to start filling these so we can get this court up and running. You know, as Anna said, they keep asking us, well, you don't have your courts up, so then we have to run our courts. So, you know, let's keep working on this. Let's get the people involved, and let's start doing that. Now, the other thing is, anybody else want to say anything before I go on to the next thing? Okay. Hang on here. This same video here, hang on. Okay. Carlos was talking about getting our passports and stuff like that, and this is me asking Anna about the passports. One of the things that we're talking about, because the passports come from the Postal Service, the Post Office, and I asked her about it because our Post Office for the Federation has been up and running, but they haven't been doing our passports. So this is a little video that you can see what I asked her and see her response to it.
I emailed, but I didn't get a response. Can I send another email so we go quicker tonight? And I'll put who is John.
Post office is never closed. It came close to closing, but it never did.
So our question is that one of the ways that we can, you know, like the de facto or the other people, whatever, can tell who we are is by our passport, right? And can this post office do our passports, or is there some other thing on that basically it would be our passports, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, we can do our own passports. We just haven't had the time and money and personnel and everything to set up that kind of a structure yet. Yes, the answer is yes. We can certainly do our own passports.
Yeah, we were just thinking that even if we had our own, it'd be just saving doing our paperwork, because that would be, you know, an ASN type passport.
Well, technically, your ASN credentials can serve as a passport. All you need to add to that are two signed witness statements affirming that, yes, this guy in the picture here, this is Rocky Wolfberg, he's a good guy, and he's traveling for legitimate purposes, for private business or to vacation, whatever.
Okay.
That's really all that you're lacking.
It's like me right now, I have to read them. I was just wondering, you know, if we could do them other ways, but yeah, I'm just going to read out the normal way, like with the moonshine thing. But
see, the hard part is that all of this stuff that they present to you, like the TSA scans and all that stuff, it's all actually voluntary. You can say no. You can say, I'm not going through the scanner, so you just better get ready to pat me down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes longer, but you assert and keep your rights and you don't become endangered with all these invasive technologies.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with passports. Now, other countries may refuse to let you in. Mm-hmm. Which is part of the problem that we face. But as those other countries get revealed as just nothing but franchise corporations and the U.S. Inc. and the USA Inc., they are losing the bet too. They're being forced to honor the land jurisdiction people. So we had experienced problems with people being able to, say, travel from here to Norway. They'd be able to leave here, they'd be able to leave the United States, and they'd be able to get back into the United States,
mm-hmm.
but they wouldn't be able to, say, go visit Sweden, because the Swedish government said, no, you have to have this kind of this kind of passport, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, we're still seeing some of that, but less and less and less as more of the bureaucrats get queued in and realize that, hey, we actually do have to accept this.
Right.
The Postal Union is acting to make sure that other countries are honoring our paperwork. You may have also seen that the Postal Union is using the Federal Postal Court and actually had an executive order to round up the bar attorneys and judges that have been operating this criminal court system.
Definitely need that. The last thing is that last week I talked to you about our logos and...
Okay. Anyway, it goes on to the logo part where we talked about... She told me to email them with the word stationary in the subject line, and she's going to look at them. Anybody has any questions about the passports, whatever, because again, that's critical to our courts too, is getting passports or something also that says who we are.
Hi, Rocky. I just joined. This is Carlos. This is Vaughn.
Hello, Carlos.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else has commented on the passports and all that, but apparently, it's just a matter of logistics in order to get the passports issued through the post office from Philadelphia. And again, it comes down to an issue about money and personnel, and of course, the time dedicated to it, and the materials that would be needed to be created by that. Also, there's some international, what I understand, treaties that exist with the Universal Postal Union that would interact with our post office. That in and of itself would help us to be recognized on the international stage. The thing is, I don't understand why more hasn't been done in that area to create that passport. And so I would just like to say that, you know, for me, I find it to be a matter of urgency for us to create our standings, especially when it comes to establishing our authority on the land and soil with regards to official duties, for example, like our sheriff, our deputies, especially any jural assembly that gets formed and any justice of the peace that will be assigned for that kind of activities, as well as the court recorders. These passports basically establish who we are, even more so than the credential card does. And so, because it's recognized at a high level that all parties involved recognize as well. I yield.
Thank you, Carlos. That is good information too, yeah. Anybody else want to say something? I was reading in the chat a little bit, and somebody talked about the Jural Assembly and the LRO. I am building into the LRO where once you fill out those paperwork, because we do have to have the document, then there's going to be a place on the LRO that we're going to put your document, and also the court's going to be able to use that to see who the jurors are and who filled out their document, right? So that's one other step that I'm doing too on the LRO, is to give a way for the courts, you know, the court clerk or whatever, to be able to just pull up your document and stuff, and all the jurors, you know, that signed up to be a juror, right, on that list, right? The current LRO for the Federation doesn't have a place for your Jural Assembly agreement. The new one I'm working on is going to have something for it, and it'll tie to the court. Any more questions? Anybody want to say something about the passport or the LRO that I just talked about?
There will probably be a lot of discussion about that. I'm trying to formulate my thoughts yet on that, Rocky.
Yeah. Once we get up and moving, there will be a lot of different deals. Now, one of the last things, let me get rid of a few of these deals here. Everybody's asking always about money. And I want you to listen to Anna. I think this is the spot.
Birth certificate bonds.
No, hang on.
That was, and so
Rocky, might I didn't interject something right now at the moment while you're doing that.
And say, look.
Oh no, hang on.
We've just been informed that
here we go.
Seized our gold, which came from the birth certificate bonds that was returned by the Vatican. And that's not cool, because Mr. Trump is working for foreign corporations, and he's under contract to us to act in good faith and good service, right? And he did not need a foreign entity seizing our gold and telling us what to do and how we're going to spend it and how it's going to be distributed and who it's going to be distributed to. For the very simple reason that each and every one of us that has a birth certificate or whose parents had birth certificates issued are owed that money individually.
When will we arrest the criminals doing this?
Well, first of all, they have to be informed that they are acting inappropriately in a, you know, a questionable manner. I fall short of saying criminal matter. You know, it's not quite a criminal matter yet, but or manner. But it's inappropriate, and so we're going to have to go back after Mr. Trump and say, look, this is not your role. You don't have a contract
with it. I thought we did that when they went to England, when we originally went to claim this.
We did. And it's not the part, it's not the fault of the internationals. It's the fault of the people that are working here who have gone rogue and not understood what was going on in the bigger picture, haven't had a complete picture of the history, and they're continuing to try to act as our trustees and herd everything under the QFS system and control every purchase you make and surveil everything that you do on the false pretense that you're a British citizen.
Certainly, we've notified them individually by states, and now Federation has got to have had more than a few conversations in writing. How are they still so unaware?
Well, they're aware in some parts, but as for this example, we're going to have to actually inform them that, hey, those 432,000 gold bars belong to the American people as an inheritance. And you have no contract or say-so about how we distribute it or what we do with it. It's ours.
We give a deadline for action?
Well, I think that just simply saying that and demanding it as soon as possible, as it, you know, as within a week, 7 days, or whatever, to be ridiculous.
You should give them a real deadline. I mean, honestly, they've proven to be completely unscrupulous. They should have a perform date. And if they don't perform, they should be under the threat of federal arrest.
Well, yeah.
This becomes a little bit crazy that these are our employees acting like we just need to keep telling them. They know very well they're in violation.
They were in the process of delivering it to us when they pulled back and said, oh, hey, wait a minute. And so now we have to go back to them and say, this is a private inheritance that has nothing to do with you. You don't have a contract to even touch that gold. And you are responsible for returning it to our custody right now. I mean, there really shouldn't be any question, and there really doesn't need to be any future date. It's due now.
Yeah.
They were in the process of delivering it. They actually knew that they were supposed to deliver it and didn't.
And how is this going to affect the GFG overall? Because I know it's just one element.
It won't hold up GFG at all. But think of this as an inheritance.
This is a tax of six generations. This is the birth certificate gold. Right. Birth certificates, rather.
Right. This is the birth certificate gold that was it offered as settlement of the birth certificate fraud and the asset, the actual physical asset side. So, anyway, we're in the middle of a push me, pull you on that one. As you can all see, the Trump administration is very erratic. I want you all to know that we monitor over 160 different news feeds.
I'm going to stop it there. Anyway, like she said, that if you've heard of the Trump taking our gold, whatever, that's a whole nother set of gold than the gold that's in your GFG account now. So, again, like we talked about, there's going to be a prepaid account that's going to get created in your account. And that's part of this prepaid stuff is part of the gold she's talking about. And when that gets settled, you'll get another account. Now, if you've been paying attention to your accounts, your GFG accounts, you'll notice that they just opened up the reports deal on the left so that you can print reports about your accounts and all that, which, again, it's showing you that they're getting closer. They also caught you up with the money. Now, they did forget August, and Anna knows about that. If I kept playing this, somebody told her that they forgot August, and she's going to talk to them about it. But you should get one more payment for August and then one for January. I want to think of what else. But as they keep changing the your accounts, you know, the web page or whatever for you to get different information, you'll see more and more stuff will open up so that you'll be able to use it. You know, the first thing that just happened, I think it was yesterday, they opened up the reports tab. Let me see if I can show that to you. Hang on here. Give me a second here. Okay. This is your GFC account when you log in. But if you'll notice here, there's a bill that says reports. And you can do statements on your reports and the balances of all your reports. That's one of the first steps, you know, because once you start using the money, then you need to start tracking, you know, where the money's going and all that kind of stuff. And that's what the reports are for. So that's been opened up. And, you know, as each one of these things keep coming alive, it's just getting you closer and closer that it is going to open up. Is there any other questions? I know people had questions on me with emails and stuff. I don't know if you're in here, if you want to ask the questions now.
Rocky, I've got a kind of an administrative question. I've got a finding letter for the Oversight Committee. What is the proper venue outside of the committee to get it to the assembly, or how should it be done?
You would bring it up in one of the meetings here, and then you'll explain it to the people, and then let the people, if there's any voting that needs to do, then you know, let the people vote on it, on whatever your findings are.
Yeah, basically, I still need to hear from my own committee. I sent it out to a couple. There's one email I don't have, and I think that's Ross, and I don't have his email. But I need to hear from them just to finalize it, but I'm pretty sure they'll go with what I put there. There's five findings that we had discussed within the committee many times, actually, and which I crystallized and clarified there, along with recommendations. It's also part of the package that will be sent to Anna with regards to the controversy with Sue and her aligned assembly members up there. And I just wanted to make sure that I got those pieces, you know, verified by the assembly or approved by the assembly to be able to do that.
Well, I mean, we can ask the people now if they want to go over it first before you send it out to Anna. But I think on the part where Anna was asking for, that we talked about, I think, last meeting, about giving our responses to her. I know several people has gave you responses, whatever. We need to get right. That to her as soon as we can. And I mean, we can follow up on this other one, too.
Well, it really acts as a cover letter to Anna.
Okay.
Because I actually address it to her, okay, as well.
Okay, does anybody have a problem or issue with Carlos putting their findings, you know, the Oversight Committee's findings in that letter to Anna? Anybody want to comment?
Sorry, had to find myself. I feel that we have this committee so that they can we can trust them to do what is right. And like I told you on the phone, I know that they meet and that they're, you know, doing things. So just in my opinion, I would just trust the committee and Carlos to do what needs to be done. I yield.
Anybody else?
I can also verbally read the letter if everybody wants to hear it, or I can put it on the chat here as a PDF file if they want to look at it now in the draft form that it's in.
How long is the letter?
It's not that long. I tried to make it a one-pager, but because of formatting, it's a 1.5 1.25 pager.
Go ahead. Go ahead and read it.
Would you like? Okay, let me do that.
Bring it up here. Since I'm on my phone, I'm going to do it from my phone. Probably be the easiest way to do it. All right. Let's go to that there.
I'm going to stop sharing my screen here.
Where did it go? Notice report. Oh. I have to read it from my computer screen instead. I'll just do it that way. All right. You can hear me okay, Rocky and company?
Yes.
Basically, it's just basic letter, like letterhead to Anna Maria Reisinger, fiduciary, in her capacity as fiduciary, and it starts out like this. Dear Anna, the Oversight Committee has reviewed numerous documents and recordings, official and unofficial, regarding the apparent controversy between Sue Hulsebus, State of the Union Coordinator, and those aligned with her within the Nevada State of the Union Assembly, and Rocky Roper, our Union State/Clark County Coordinator, along with a various number of Clark County Assembly members, both from the historical past to the present time. Hope that read okay. Conclusion. After a thorough review of the many and sundry communications, the Oversight Committee could find no harms requiring remedy on the part of Rocky Roper. However, the same cannot be said for Sue Hulsebus and those who so proactively aligned with Sue. The Oversight Committee makes the following findings based almost entirely on Sue Hulsebus's own communications, supported by subsequent communications in writing by those that support Sue's opinion/perspectives and unsubstantiated judgments/accusations. And I said that I worded it specifically that way because nothing is substantiated. And we find, one, Sue and those aligned have been and continue to be excessively disruptive to the cause of standing up of Clark County and Nevada. Two, by such deliberate actions, many new ASNs and even some longstanding ASNs have stepped back or stopped participating in the assembly and committees. Three, some people have incurred real harm to their health by the introduction of strife within our ranks. Four, a change is warranted and some form of discipline/correction is needed immediately. Five, we find that this activity on the part of and those so aligned with her committed these actions/activities purposefully and therefore intentional. Moreover, these activities act, smell, and taste like the very definition of infiltration of our Nevada Assembly. Let me finish up here. More could be said on the endless details. However, we find that to pursue them at this level is to add fuel to the fire. Therefore, the Oversight Committee refrains from further comment. Anna, we need for you as the true authority over the coordinators to take corrective action as you see fit regarding these matters. Sincerely, and my name and Oversight Committee. So that was the letter. It's short, but it's succinct, but it's very direct to the specifics.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yep.
Does anybody want to comment on what Carlos just said? Does everybody agree with what Carlos said?
Any disagreement on that?
Or disagree, too.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I'm also on the Oversight Committee as well, so I am in agreement with that letter.
You have a copy of it, Jennifer, in your email.
Yeah, I do. I just read it right before you did, so.
Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody else want to say something?
Carolyn, I think it sounded great.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And anybody? This is Armando. I don't have access on that letter. There is a way for me to have access on that letter, and then I can just forward it to Anna.
Yeah, Carlos will get it to me. I'll put it on the file server so you guys can look at it.
Yeah, I've already sent it to you, Rocky. You have it.
Okay. I will put it out on the file server for everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Armando. Any more comments?
You're welcome, Bart.
Well, it seems like I'm commenting a lot. It sounds to the point, short, and it sounds professional to me. I yield.
Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else? Okay, unless anybody has any disagreements with it or whatever, I would suggest Carlos go ahead and sending it out with all of the emails from the people that actually sent in to him to send to Anna. Do we have anybody that disagrees? Okay, Carlos, send it out as soon as you can.
Will do. I'll get it out tonight.
Is there any more questions or anything that somebody wants to ask me that I can answer for them? Just a reminder, our next meeting will be on the 25th, and I will have a chart of all of the offices or positions that need to be filled or not filled. We need to start working on people doing those, and then also I'll work on documents for training for each one of those positions. That'll be in our next meeting.
I'm sorry, Rocky, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
As far as recording secretaries, knowing that Anna vetted you and told you to vet, now are you in the place that you can vet our recording secretaries?
I could for the county, in all the counties, whatever. The problem with recording secretaries is if you want to post your stuff on the Federation LRO, then it has to be opened up from Terry and Anna. You know, to give you accounts to log in, that kind of stuff. And that's why I need to get this other LRO completed, is then we could do vetting and giving our recording secretaries in Nevada, you know, a place to record their stuff, right? And we won't have to rely on the Federation or Terry or Anna or whatever trying to get us accounts, you know, in that system.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, we got to keep moving forward. And now that all of this stuff should actually calm down and we're actually going to be working on our jural and our courts, that will give me more time to actually finish the LRO that I was working on. I'm really close. I'm basically the last part of it is where the recording secretary can upload the papers. Once I get that finalized on how I'm working it out, then we'll be able to start using it. And we won't have to worry about what's going on with the Federation. Any other comments?
Thank you. That'd be great.
You're welcome. Any more questions or anything? Okay, with that said, if anybody doesn't have any other questions or whatever, I'll ask for adjourn of the meeting. If anybody wants to do that. Any second?
I second.
Okay. Everybody that wants to adjourn, say aye.
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 Anybody that doesn't want to adjourn, say no. Anyone who wants to abstain, say yes. Okay, with that said, the meeting's adjourned, and we'll see you all on the 25th, and get ready to start working on the court positions and try to get our courts up. Thank you, everybody.
You bet. Thank you, Rock.